hear this, right? Now hear this. You've heard us talk, maybe if you've listened to some of the other training courses on here, and been in our, listened to our podcasts and things like that. You've heard us talk about the Blood Covenant, and you have probably seen that it becomes a very personal thing between you and God. It is you and it is him, and it is him letting you know that he is loyal to you, and it gives you an opportunity to decide your loyalties with him. He doesn't take it away from you, but it becomes very face-to-face and very one-on-one, right? So for what we're going to talk about in this block of time, you're going to need to set aside some things, and it's not anything metaphysical or new age. You're just going to need to decide that you're not going to bring other people's opinions with you. You're going to need to decide you're not going to bring biases with you of who you don't like. And listen, there's things that darkness will try to put in our life so that whoever even approaches maybe even the same zip code as a person we don't like, we won't have anything to do with it. We'll shut it down, right? But what if that's the answer or an answer to improve our quality of life, but we have our, there's a bias built in, whether we realize it, whether we don't, we're closed off to certain things. And what I'm talking about is this, I'll tell you what I mean. I need you to set aside just for the time we talk, whatever people have talked to you about, quote unquote, being blessed, living your blessed life, hashtag blessed. there may be groups you don't like. There may be ministers that are not your cup of tea. And frankly, you wouldn't cross the street to say hello to them if you were paid to. That's fine. But let's set all that aside. We're in a day and an age where there's just some things we can't afford to carry around anymore. And for the sake of your quality of life, and most importantly, for the sake of you enjoying your covenant, best friendship with God, if there's something that he has for you, listen, it doesn't matter what someone else says about it. What did your best friend say about it? It doesn't matter another group's opinion. What is your best friendship? What does your best friend in blood say about it? Who are you loyal to, number one, the most? Your denomination? Your seminary? Your department, your institution, your church, your parish, your priest? Or to God, your best friend? Because let me tell you, there's only one of that group. There's only one person we mentioned in that group that we just mentioned that swore a covenant with you in his own blood and paid the expense to get you the information about it, and is standing ready eternally to back up everything he said to you. Amen. So be it. So, hey, let's decide we're loyal to him. And let that loyalty to him shake out where everything else falls. You know what I'm saying? Like the chips fall where they may, but I'm sticking with him. See, there's something about being in blood covenant with God. And there's something about trusting him, about the loyalty of trusting him, and the fact that we're not going first. He already gave his loyalty to us and gave us his faithfulness. We give him our faith, but he gives us his faithfulness. What's the difference? That sounds very churchy. Good. I'm glad you asked. we give him our confident trust because he gave us his sworn oath of integrity. His sworn oath to be reliable. I'll never fail you. And I'll never leave you. Well, hey, no one else is making that promise. No one else is guaranteeing that in their own blood. Other people could, if they're really being honest, say, I'd like to do that. Or on this particular matter, I do that. But no one but him can promise that every day, every moment for all eternity. But he has. So let's give him our loyalty And if we're going to be biased anywhere, listen, you're not going to escape this earth without bias. Let's have a covenant bias. Let's be biased on his behalf. Listen, I'm going to trust God up front. You know, you talking to another group. Well, you got to either choose us or, you know, well, I'm going to choose what the Bible says, which sounds kind of churchy. But here's what we mean by that. I'm going to choose what God has said in his blood covenant on the matter. And that could, you know, listen, we've had, you know, people well-intentioned, good intention. Listen, I'm going to assume they're good intention, but just really not track what in some. Now, thankfully, they're a minority. They haven't been many, but, you know, notable, who have had scriptures that they've had in their lives that have really tripped them up and been like, well, fine, you say the Bible says it, but what about this? What about it? You can't have irrefutable evidence and I mean mountains of irrefutable evidence, and then stick with one scripture as though that's your excuse to not trust the rest. It's all got to cooperate or none of it works. And I've had to say to a couple people, thankfully, again, and it's been pretty marvelous. I've heard my elders in the faith talk about for years, all anybody wanted to do with them was argue. You know, sure, they had people who believed it, but man, it was an uphill battle. Man, I'm standing on the shoulders of giants, and what a day and an hour to live in. Most people are desperate to hear this that I come in contact with. They're like, wait, what? Yeah, sit down. I want to hear all about it. And don't get up. And you need something? I'll bring you a drink. You know, I'll bring you something to drink. I'll bring you water, or Dr. Pepper, a diet Dr. Pepper. Thank you very much. Or Diet Coke. People are falling all over themselves to hear this. But when we start talking about biases, they can raise their ugly head. And so what reason I brought it up is let's set all that aside for the sake of our conversation tonight. You can pick them up later if you want. But just let's set them aside for right now, okay? All right. Now, let's go into this with a mindset that we're going to give our blood covenant best friend, the best friend we ever had, a fair shake, and hear him out, okay? So this is the subject we want to get into tonight. Let's look at this. We want to talk about the blessed life. The B-L-E-S-S-E-D life. And what that means. Because listen, in Genesis chapter 12, Abraham gets an invitation. He was still Abram at the time. But why are we going all the way back? Because this is the first person. This is the prototype blood covenant man. This is the first one who would be all in all the time with God, no matter what, for all the days of his life. Or all the days that from the time God, you know, introduced himself to the man. Abraham was older. He was, you know, at least, you know, 60+ years. And some scholars have said that he was about 75 when this happened. That's a good chunk of time to have biases, you know, take root in your life. if you don't think that's possible, look at the internet. Everybody's speaking from their biases. But God gives Abram an invitation, and he says this. The Lord, this is the New Living Translation. The Lord said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. Land that you'll show me. He said, and I will make of you a great nation. One translation says, a great family. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. Now you have to understand, why would the attraction of the first thing that God says to you, I will make of you a great nation? We think, okay, what if I don't want a nation? You're like, great nation, like, you know, are we talking like Latvia? Are we talking like, you know, Italy? You know, are we talking like United States? Are we talking like, you know, the Vatican? You know, what kind of nation are we talking about? But when you hear an invitation given to a man who has no children. And we know from the 15th chapter, it's the deepest desire of his heart is to have a child. He wants a family. Well, then hear this. Here's someone who shows up and just taps you on the shoulder and says, hey, I need you to get out of all that's familiar to you and all that has, you know, taught you your biases and given you your education over the years. Everybody you rely on, your support unit. And I want you to get out here and go where I show you. And I will make of you a great or large or expansive family. Oh, how'd you know that's what I wanted? Then he says, and I will bless you and I'll make you famous and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and I'll curse those who curse you or treat you with contempt or who work against you. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. The easy to read version says at the end, I will use you to bless all the people on the earth. I'll use you to bless all the people on the earth. But hear the first thing that God said to him. Come on out here where I am, where I show you, and I'm going to make you a great family. I'm going to give you the desires of your heart. So get this. This was the first and original invitation to come and be best friends with God. God is telling him the end result of coming and being best friends with him from the beginning. I want you to come out here and we're going to be best friends together. He hadn't introduced the best friend part, but he's telling him the end result. Come on out here and be with me and I'm going to give you a great family. What about the blessed part? What's all that about? Well, think about what a blessing is and what it isn't. We've heard more about cursing and, you know, that person's just cursed or, you know, this team, this whatever. It means to have things working against you. And most of the time, it means to have things unseen working against you. There's just an unseen force working against you to be cursed. That's a very simple way to put it. Well, let's put a very simple way of being blessed. There's unseen forces working for you. Working for you. That's super simple, right? You can take that and run with it, right? So what is God saying to him? Come on out here. And I'm going to give you the desires of your heart. But we hear that like, okay, that's cool. Let's put it in you and I talk. Let's put it in kitchen table talk. Or let's put it in coffee around the campfire talk. Let's get real down to the nitty gritty. God's saying to him, hey, you want to come live like I live? Now, if it was just the guy who was selling you camels, you know, in his day and age, if it was just the guy, you know, selling you fresh bread, I mean, not really. I'm doing okay. But what if it's the person who appears to you in a vision and starts telling you this stuff, but his intent that he's communicating is to you, come on out here and you're going to live like I live. My results will be your results. What's the blessing part then? I'm going to put unseen forces at work in your life that are working for you. You can only go so far in life on your own. But what if Almighty God, who we know now is our very best friend, is releasing unseen forces in your life to live like he lives? What do you mean live like he lives? To live on earth like he lives in heaven. Let's just go ahead and skip to the end. That sounds like a great deal. Yes, please. If that's not your deal, that's okay. You don't have to even hear us out. Go with God, vaya con Dios. But if that's like, you know what? I could use some God-given unseen forces working for me in my life. I've had enough of that. Listen, I've had enough curse to last me six lifetimes. I don't need any more of that. No, thank you. I want the unseen forces of good working on me. Let's. I'm getting ahead of myself. Can we just be super plain about it? God's giving you juice. You got the juice, man. You got things working for you. Come on, that sounds awesome. And if it's God-given, that's the difference between just a blessing, saying a blessing, the priest's blessing or whatever, and the blessing of the Lord. Or we could say it like this, the blessing of our best friend. Our best friend releasing unseen forces in our life that are working for us. Man. Yes, please. Well, Psalm 23:1, you know, we weren't going to get away without reading this. Psalm 23:1. Now, for the sake of our talk right now, Psalm 23 is the best friend chapter. These are all a picture of the life of living in best friendship with God. He starts it off, the Lord, in the Passion Translation, Psalm 23:1, the Lord is my best friend and my shepherd. I always have more than enough. He makes me to lie down, one translation says, and rest in green pastures, and leads me beside the still and calm waters. One effect of the blessing of the unseen forces working for us, given by our best friend, it brings us some rest. It brings us rest and it brings us peace. But the very first thing he said, the very first listed benefit of being best friends with God, is that we have a shepherd. We have someone watching over us. And as a result of him being our best friend, we always have more than enough. And this is where people begin to, you know, think you're talking about what some have in anger or in frustration or in misunderstanding, whatever it may be. That's not my, it's not the role or the intent or my job of this message to get into the, you know, the root causes, but people take issue with people, you know, ministering about quote unquote prosperity. It is a Bible word. But listen, we're not going to deny there's been abuses. Just like, just because it's good to take vitamin B12 doesn't mean you only take vitamin B12. You know what I mean? Just because it's good to have Greek yogurt doesn't mean you only eat Greek yogurt. I've heard people having severe medical issues who only ate red meat, like didn't eat vegetables, didn't eat bread. Like I'm on the carnivore diet. Like have some carnivore diet and have some grain, you know, have a little roughage in your diet. Let's just put it like this. God invented and offered the blessed life. So let's set aside, you know, all the trigger words of, you know, are you talking about prosperity? No, I'm talking about being blessed by your best friend. Are you talking about that health and wealth gospel? Listen, I'm talking about being blessed by your best friend. Leave all that at the door. Let's unpack that later, or better yet, ask your best friend about it and let him unpack it for you and him. Right now, let's step aside from all that and let's just talk about being blessed by your best friend. This is something he's giving you because he first gave it to Abram and then to Abraham or Abraham. Amen, man. I'm excited about it. I'm thinking about six steps ahead of where I want to go, and I'm so excited about that. I had to catch myself. Like, no. We're over here right now. But listen, Psalm 23:1, man. The Lord is my best friend and my shepherd. I always have more than enough. Listen to this in the King James in verse 4. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Hey, where is that? That's here on earth. We're walking through it. This is a deployment. He said, though I walk through it, I fear no evil. Why not? Because you're with me. He said, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You know what comfort is? It gives me, it gives peace to my mind. What specifically are we talking about? The unseen forces given by my best friend that are working for me and not against me. I tell you what, it's good. It is so good. You heard me tell this, relate this story before, but man, it fits in right here. One of my closest buddies, also in the blood covenant with you and I, a prototype misfit himself, if you will. We'll connect. We haven't talked in a couple of days, maybe even like a week or two. If he's gotten busy or I've gotten busy, we're both busy. He'll just go, man, you know what I'm thankful for? I'm like, lay it on me. He said, all the negative stuff that hasn't happened. I'm like, here, here. Pound wood. Here, here. Absolutely. All the negative stuff that didn't happen that we weren't even aware of. That God, our best friend, by his goodness and his kindness and his watchfulness and using his unseen forces of that David describes as your rod and your staff. Could he see God holding a stick and a crook? No, of course not. But he could see things keep going his way and negative things that try to hurt him not go his way. You know what I'm saying? You know, negative things that tried to hurt him not get in his way. And that's what my friend and I are talking about. God just keeps clearing out all the negative stuff that we don't have to just get involved. Hey, that's a huge benefit in itself. What if all the,
some people say, that's pie in the sky thinking.
Well, I don't know where you got that term from, but God is in the sky, I guess. It did come from him, but I didn't have anything to do with it. Neither did you. This was his idea. But if it's his idea, he has my loyalty. He's my best friend. I want it. If he wants to give it, then I want to make him happy and I want to have it. you know what I'm saying? Amen. But think about it. He wants to do stuff for you and I. And so let's just even put it like in this term. What if you had a 75% reduction in negative things happening? Yeah, I'll take it. Well, God's offering you 100%. And the stuff that does show up, listen, that doesn't mean you won't have problems. What he's saying is when they do show up, I'll still handle them for you. That means I have 100% of the time ally. That's part of what him blessing you is. He's already decided he's always on your side. Romans 8 and 31 says that God is for us. God is for us. And just hearing that, doesn't that make you just, it's nice to just hear it. I want you to say it again. You want me to say it again? I want you to say it again, Duke. Great. I'm glad you said so. God is for us. He is on our side. His loyalties are already decided. Oh, that's good. Well, Ephesians chapter 1, let's look at this. Ephesians 1, over here in the New Covenant. I still like, I think my favorite description of the long name of the new covenant is what Jesus said at what people have called the Last Supper, where he instituted the Lord's table of, you know, breaking the bread and drinking the wine that symbolized his broken body and his shed blood. He called it, this is the new covenant in my blood. Oh, I like that. This is the new covenant in his blood. I like his ownership of it. I like his stamp of, making it his own. This is not just a new covenant in blood. This is the new covenant in my blood. And that puts it on a level that is unmatchable. Nothing will ever be more superior than the new covenant in Jesus, our best friend and elder brother's blood. Well, he said here in the first chapter of Ephesians in the third verse, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord." Now remember, translate what that means. "Of our Lord, our best friend and shepherd, Jesus the Anointed," or Jesus who has power on him, "who hath blessed us." Now, if you're going to bless someone, you'd say, "Who is going to bless us?" But he says, "Who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies, in the Anointed One," or in the Anointed, in Jesus. And, you know, people will argue about this and say, "Well, you see, all the blessings are in heavenly places." Well, where'd you think they were going to start? It doesn't mean that they're going to stay there. You've just been connected straight to the source. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad you're not blessed with all earthly blessings? And people get, "Oh, that's what I need. Earthly blessings." Or another group says, "I don't want any of those earthly blessings." Hey, man, just set it aside and stop thinking churchy for a minute. This is what we're saying. All of your blessings are hooked up to the unending, never-ending source. They start in heaven. That's where they came from. But they come to us on the earth. They come to us on the earth. They flow out of our life. They flow into our being and out through our being and out into our life. I get that some of this is a little bit more conceptual than sometimes we talk about, but hey, we're still talking about trusting our God who is our best friend and that he has done something and is doing something for us. And in this case, he's wanting to improve our quality of life, but there's a mission behind it. There's a purpose to it. Because some folk got a real issue with you having any sort of blessed quality of life. Other people are desperate for it, but they're desperate for it to the point of, leaving behind how the covenant operates and compromising their best friendship with God. But what if you didn't have to do either one? What if you didn't have to be angry about it? And what if you didn't have to be desperate and covetous for it? What's covetous? When you want something so bad that you're willing to do anything to get it. That's a real simple way to say it. What if you didn't have to be either one? What if you didn't have to be covetous? And what if you didn't have to be angry? What if you could just live in the middle of the road? And how about this? What if you could just live in the middle of the road and enjoy the green pastures and the still calm waters all throughout the days of your life? Well, that's the way he designed it. And listen, darkness is going to oppose you. I say darkness, I mean darkness, and Satan is going to oppose you and try to get you off either angry so you don't enjoy it, or get you so covetous that if you do enjoy any of it, it destroys you. That you and you're party to destroying yourself. Well, how about we don't do either? How about we don't pull off the road into either of those traps? And we just stay in the middle of the road with our best friend. That sounds better, right? Because that's our option. What if we just stick with him? What if we just stick with him, and if he likes something, we like it? And if he doesn't like it, we don't like it. And if he says, "Do it this way," we do it that way. And what if he also says, "Here's my reason for it," and we go, "Oh, okay. Sounds good to me." Amen. Well, hey, let's put those two scriptures together. Let's put Psalm 23:1, and let's put Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, and let's put them together. Remember how we summed up what God was saying to Abram? Hey, you want to come live like me? You want to come out here and live with me like me? Well, I thought he had to wait to heaven to do that. Where was he when he was talking to him? He was talking to him in the land of the Ur of the Chaldees. And he took him out into the desert. Amen. And caused Abram to live on earth like God lives in heaven. Now, it's just a measure. But think about all that God was able to accomplish in Abram's life just in that 65 years. Think about it for a second. He was so rich that some kings would kick out his sons. Isaac, who inherited everything that Abraham had and then grew it some more. One of the kings of the Philistines, Abimelech and Jura, finally told Isaac, listen, you got to go. You are mightier than we. God raised up a man who would talk to kings because of how blessed he was. That's all over in the 26th chapter of Genesis. So, but let's go back and put those two verses together. The Lord is my best friend and my shepherd. I always have more than enough. And then blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and best friend, Jesus Christ, who has already, past tense, blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies, in the heavenly realm. We could say it like this, from the heavenly source. I like that. We're blessed from the heavenly source. An earthly source can run out, wear out, burn out, or just run, go out. But if you're plugged into the heavenly source, it just keeps on cranking, buddy. You're never going to run dry. I'm thinking about it like this. You can have a tank on your back and go underwater, but you've only got enough air in that tank. But what if you had a hose that went up to the boat? Well, then conceivably, you could stay down there until you were just so tired you passed out. But you could stay down there with kind of unlimited oxygen, right? Hey, as long as the source kept pumping, you're good. I think you're getting the, in fact, I have a witness that you're getting the example. We're plugged into a heavenly source while living on the earth. All you good Catholics, sound off with me. What did Jesus say in the Lord's Prayer? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Heaven is, has God, our best friend, is releasing heavenly forces to work unseen in our life on our behalf on the earth. That's the blessed life. Doesn't it sound good? Yeah, let's take it. In fact, you don't have to wait. You don't want to wait for the punchline at the end about steps that we're going to do to cooperate. You can just do this. Lord, I just decide I believe you. I decide I believe I'm blessed. That's where I start. That's where you start, just like anything else. You got to decide that you make a decision of confidence about what the Lord's saying to you. But put those together. We have been given something to live like our best friend lives here on the earth. And as we said earlier, you got juice, man. You have something working for you instead of working against you. Now, I can hear people saying, well, what would be working against you? Curse? The darkness in the earth lives under a specter of being cursed. Man, let that sink in. There's forces at work to destroy and work against you. That's the curse. But what if you had forces working for you? And their goal of working for you is that we, in some measure, showcase in our life how God lives in heaven but on earth. And we do it with him. We're doing it with him. We're not doing this and running off from God. I've heard in time past people say, you just want what's in God's hand. No, I don't. I want him, his hand, his shoes, his mind. I want to know how he lives. Everything about him, I'm all in. And if this being who has sworn his loyalty to me first and to you first, I like what the letter of John, the first letter of John fourth chapter says, we love him because he first loved us. Hey, he gets my loyalty. You know what I'm saying? So if he loves me and says, hey, what was that old video game people have referenced? It's dangerous to go alone. Take this. Hey, listen, I don't want to live this life unblessed. Because those are your two choices. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. God's saying, I'm setting before you two choices, blessing and cursing. Just exist in this earth without God's blessing is to live and gamble in the realm of forces working against you. Well, what about all these rich people and celebrities and things like that? Have you seen how quickly destruction comes into their life and randomly? And for the weirdest, silliest reasons? Oh, sure, they live it up for a moment. But then all of a sudden, they're dying of a disease. They commit a faux pas and they get canceled or... I don't want that. Yeah, I don't want that life where there's always risk around every corner. I want to have the life where I know that no matter what's around the corner, my best friend is with me. And his unseen forces are working for me to handle no matter what's around the corner. How about you? And God doesn't say there's any other third option. There's blessing and there's cursing. He calls it life and he calls it death. Which one is it, life or blessing? It's both. It's the blessed life and the cursed life of death. You're the walking dead. Oh, I tell you what, I know you're with me on this. I don't need to explain it anymore. You want that blessed life, don't you? Buddy, I'm right there with you. You and me. Hey, let's go. Let's enjoy this blessed life together. And hey, just in case, you know, you're wondering, like, well, isn't that just for Abraham? I'd heard somebody say that was just for Abraham or just for the Jews. Well, he says this, and you've heard us talk already about it in other, training blocks and training courses, that God has made us his very best friends through Jesus' sacrifice and his blood. And he calls it, God has made us the righteousness of God. He's given us a status and a title and a DNA. He has made us legally, personally, vitally, internally, and forever righteous. And not just with a generic righteousness. He's made us righteous with Jesus' righteousness. Jesus wouldn't be satisfied unless we had his. Thank God. Isn't that wonderful? Well, that means any time in the Old Testament or the New Testament, you see the word just or justified or righteous, he's talking about being made God's very best right-hand friend. And he says in the 12th verse of Psalms 5, so write this down, Psalm 5:12, he says here, for thou, Lord, will bless the righteous. Thou, Lord, our best friend and shepherd, we always have more than enough, will bless your best friends. With favor will you compass him. Compass who? Compass your best friend. As with a shield. Let that sink in for a second. You, Lord, our best friend, will release unseen forces that go to work for us. And you personally surround us as our personal shield. Don't just think shield like it's in metal or think about it like a force field, like a bubble. And you bring your favor, your favorable treatment, you treating us as your favorite. I'm telling you what, this is absolutely thrilling. As your best friend, God's saying, I'm releasing forces that go to work in your life, that work for you and not against you. I'll treat you like my favorite, and I am your personal force field. I'll take it. You know what I mean? Like, yes, please. Thank you. I'll take it. But notice he said, you will bless the righteous. Well, we just read in the new covenant in Jesus' blood, the covenant we are in now, this, and this is where we are now. He says, you have blessed us with all spiritual blessings. If you have made the Lord Jesus your boss and accepted his friendship and made an all-in, all-the-time commitment with him, you've had this blessing all along. You just didn't know it. But it's on you. And you may have even experienced some of it and not realize, other than just like, hey, things just seem to have gotten better since then. You know, still have problems, still things show up. I get it. But just, you know, hey, my quality of life took a bump. You know, it went up. Things have gotten better here and there. I remembered one of my friends, he got bit by a tick. And he had just decided, you know, to go all in all the time with the boss. He had just, you know, accepted God's friendship and he was in it. And he had been bit by a tick prior to that happening. But then, you know, a little while after he and I prayed together, we were in his vehicle together and he had to call the hospital and get the test results back. And this was going to be pretty serious because he almost died before we had a chance to pray together. And he, you know, as a result of this tick bite, it was pretty serious. So he called me, you know, he called the hospital while we were in the car together and he just said, hey, don't let him know you're here. I said, okay. Oh, I just keep my mouth shut. And they were reading off the test results and they just said, you know, Mr. So-and-so, according to this, you have a clean bill of health. There is no lingering effects. And he looked at me all wide eyed and I looked at him all wide eyed like, hey, I knew that was good. And I just pointed straight up like, the boss did that. You know, it didn't say anything, obviously, but I'm like, and he kept it cool. And he's like, okay, thank you very much. And he got off the phone. We were like, hey, that was good. he's like, I didn't pray for that. It just kind of happened. I'm like, and I was listening in my heart to the boss. He said, you tell him this is just one of the benefits of being all in all the time with me. I'll never forget it. That's exactly how he said it. He just tell him that's one of the benefits. I said, he just said to me very plainly, this is, you went all in and all time with him and you got this. This came with it. Man, isn't that wonderful? He didn't ask. You know, there's just certain things that come to, well, hey, how much more can we enjoy if we do know about it? See what I'm saying? But man, there is benefits and perks and there's treatment. There is a way you get treated. There is preferential treatment that comes from being best friends with God. And he's the one who wants to put it into play for you. He's the one who wants to oversee it and handle it and guide it to you and cause you to enjoy it. You see what I'm saying? Man, I tell you what, we can say it together. Life is good. Life is good. A dear friend of mine who's passed over to the other side was famous for saying that life is good. Well, we can say it as a strong, emphatic blood covenant statement. Life is good. Amen. Let me read it to you one more time. For thou, Lord, our best friend and shepherd, will bless the righteous, your best friends, with favor or with preferential treatment. Will you compass him as a shield? I tell you what, that's good news. That's good news. Well, hey, over in the New Covenant again, the New Covenant in Jesus' blood, just so you can see it, have a greater picture of how this works, in the book of Galatians, in chapter 3, it says this in verse 13, and I'm going to, you know, add in a few statements to help you hear these words in our everyday context, okay? Christ, that's Jesus, you know, who is anointed, who has power, has rescued us from the curse. He's rescued us from all the unseen forces working against us. He was made to be cursed. He had all the unseen forces of broken covenant put on him when he was hung on that cross. He took all of those unseen forces on himself. Listen, he had poverty. He had madness. He had sickness and disease. He had mental health problems. He had things, every affliction, disease, and condition imaginable was absorbed into him. And it goes on to say in verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham, that the released forces working on our behalf that Abraham had and enjoyed, and let's just add this in here, where did it come from? That God gave him. That God, his best friend, gave him, might come on the Gentiles, or come on those who didn't have the Jewish covenant through Jesus Christ, that we might receive, that we might take this promise of the Spirit through faith. Well, hey, this tells us exactly how we begin to enjoy this. But most of all, it tells us where it comes from. It comes from him. But hey, that's just to kind of explain some of the mechanics of this. Who started it? Whose idea was it? Where does it come from? You see what I'm saying? What's it want to do? God wants us blessed, or have these unseen forces working on our behalf, that we live here like he lives there, that we live like he lives. Listen, God wants people to look at you in your life, and don't pigeonhole your think. Don't allow your thinking to be pigeonholed and only thinking about financial things. That's part of it. That's a major part of it, especially right now. Think about it like this. God wants people to be able to look at you and know you're best friends with God. And they ask you, you got all this good stuff going on, but you're not stressed about it. You're not working 90 hours a week. I mean, you still work, obviously. You still do your assignment. But they're like, what's up? And you're like, oh, this is, God's made me his very best friend, and I've made him mine. This is how best friends with God live. And they go, oh, I get it. I can see it. The results are irrefutable. But that's when you can also say, hey, you want it? He's taking applications. Like, he is, you have a, in fact, that's kind of kitschy. Let's say it like a different way. There's a spot for you that is all your own. There's a spot for you that God wants to be best friends with you. You see what I'm saying? How about this? Blessed financially? Yes. How about blessed mentally? How about having just a wonderful, wonderful mental health? How about having a blessed home and a blessed family life? How about having blessed friendships? You see what I'm saying? How about being blessed in your employment, where things just keep working right for you? New opportunities, new open doors. The sky is the limit. There is, in fact, let's just back that up. There is no limit to what the unseen force of the blessing of the Lord wants to do in your life. The unseen force that God has released into your life, that we live as his best friends here on earth like he lives in heaven. Amen. So God wants you blessed as an asset for him. Now hear that. As an asset for him. Remember how the order went when he talked about this stuff with Abraham? He said, I'm going to give you an expansive family. And I will bless you. I'll bless you. I'm going to give you the greatest desire of your heart. Hey, listen, if you have an expansive family, I have four children. Abraham's descendants became a million as they left, or a million plus as they left Egypt. You got to be blessed to handle an expansive family. But notice what he says. I'm going to give you the greatest and deepest desire of your heart that matters to me. Well, don't think about other people's versions of being blessed. Think about your own. What are the deepest desires of your heart? God wants those handled. And he wants to release an unseen force in your life that causes you to live here as his best friend like he lives there. And it's so that all the people of the earth can receive the same treatment. That's so all the people of the earth can learn to be treated as God's best friend just like you have. Do you see what we're saying? This blessing of the Lord, God's blessed life for us, turns us into a strategic asset on earth for God, our best friend. This is what he gets out of it. It turns us into his asset. Not just the cold asset where we're just moved around the chessboard like a pawn. No, no, no. Hey, best friend. Yes, sir. What you need? In fact, that's again and again what happened with Abram. God would speak to him. He said, hey, here am I, Lord. I'm right here. It was a expression of I'm here and I'm listening. What you need? God would speak to him. He said, I'm right here. What do you need? His asset, his helper. The Apostle Paul in the 6th chapter of 2 Corinthians in the first verse says that we are laborers together with God. We do it together. We do it with him. He can't do it without us, and we can't do it without him. But we don't have to be apart. We're doing it together as best friends and blood brothers. Isn't that awesome? Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter. Deuteronomy 8. In the 18th verse, it says this, and you can read this whole chapter. It's well worth the read. But in the 18th verse, it gives us the reason for God blessing us. This is his motive. This is his plan for releasing these unseen forces into your life that work for your good, or that work for you instead of against you. So that we live like he lives on the earth. He says, but you shall remember the Lord, your best friend, your God, or your all-sufficient source. For it is he that gives you power to get wealth, assets, resources, money, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore unto your fathers as it is this day. That he may establish his covenant, that he may make his blood covenant permanent. Where would he make that? In the lives of other people. God wants to see to it. We talked earlier in the episode 22 podcast about the ministry of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You can read about it. Verses 17 through 20. We reference it frequently because it is so important. It's the ministry of telling other people through your personal life that God wants to be best friends with them. So match that up with the blessed life where there's unseen forces of good working on your behalf. Man. Put them together. What's it for? And then adding into this that God wants us to be, wants the blessing working in our life, that we be a strategic asset for God, our best friend. It's that the ministry of reconciliation lacks for nothing. That every misfit, every discontent, every disenfranchised person, every person who's walked out of a church and has said, I'm never going back there, but their hearts grieve because they had something negative happen, whether it was real or whether it was imagined, but they still have a craving for God himself. If they could just go around all the religious hoopla and get straight to God, they would. Well, then here you come with the Ministry of Reconciliation. It's so that this is the Misfit Toy Society. Let's say it like this. So that every misfit finds out about the blood covenant and God wanting to be best friends with them. That's what this blessing is for. Sure, we enjoy the benefits of it, and we have to enjoy it somewhat first before we can have it to give away. But this is its end goal, its end state. Hey, listen, you know, some people want to judge other people's versions of prosperity, other people's versions of outward show of the blessing of the Lord working. To some, it's just a nice, modest family home that's paid for. Others, it's this. Others, it's that. Plenty, the word plenty, it's really relative. What's plenty to you? Well, then don't let anybody judge you about that. Hey, listen, 1 Timothy chapter 6 says that having food and raiment, let us therefore be content. Let's decide we're happy, just fed and clothed. And everything beyond that, we can just call it gravy. It's just nothing but gravy. Gravy. Hey, let's be very content and very happy. But let's also allow our best friend to put resources into our hands, whether it's on whatever level, mental, physical, financial, social, so that we can be an asset for him. I don't need some yacht. Hey, then don't have one. You probably won't be bothered with it, being that adamant about it. That's not what God's talking about. He's talking about being in the family business. Being in the blood covenant team. To tell other people, listen, I know if you've heard me and you've heard us talk more than once, you hear my heart. I want everybody to know about this. To know about it, to be just all up in it, to be, you know, salty in it. I mean, to be a subject matter expert about it. And that's just our personal role in this greater expansive ministry of reconciliation. What we're really doing is this. God wants you to be an asset for what matters to him most. Hasn't even just hearing about this, about God wanting to be best friends with you and enjoying this blood covenant way of living with him, hasn't it helped you and just been a benefit to you? How many other people do you think would and are craving to hear this? Are craving to hear it? That's who we want to get to. We want you to keep hearing it and them to hear it. Plenty is relative, as we said. And having food and raiment, let us therefore be content. But in that same chapter, he also says, but God, our best friend, gives us richly all things to enjoy. Well, which one is it? It's both. We're content right here and now. And he gives us richly all things to enjoy. And the first mission of enjoyment that he gives us to have all things with is to get other people introduced to the one who has made them his best friend, that they be introduced to God. Amen. Listen, all we can do, and all, let's say it like this. All we can take with us when we leave the earth is what we do with God and who we help. This is what resources are for. This is what the, when I say resources, I want you to hear it like this. This is what the outward effect of being blessed, of the unseen forces working for us, whether it be finances, whether it be health, whether it be any of the other multitude of things, solid friendships, favorable treatment on your job. It's to get us to a place where we can help people and help them be introduced to God, their best friend. All right. So as we referenced it earlier, this is how we cooperate with this. This is what we do to not just hear it and walk away, but how do we get this working? Step number one, we decide that we believe it. We decide we believe it. Jesus said this, he that hears these words of mine and acts upon them or acts like they're true. Here's what we do. Sir, I decide I believe you. I'm blessed. I am blessed by my best friend. Write that down. And you know what? Say it with me. Say it with me. Say, I decide I believe that I am blessed by my best friend. And you can also add this, and his blessing is working in my life. His blessing is working in my life. And then here's step number two. Now I'm going to add a caveat with it. There is no pull by me or this ministry about what I'm about to mention. So just know that up front. Step number two is we show sincere respect and gratitude to God, our best friend, financially. Now, I'm going to use this verse because this is the one he gave me. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9 says this, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. Then he will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with good wine. Well, I don't want a silo full of grain or, you know, wine. Hear the imagery that he's getting over to you in the communication. I'm going to fill you with plenty, and I'm going to cause you to overflow with new. Can you hear the bottom line of what he's getting at? These unseen forces are working in your life. The unseen forces of the blessing of the Lord, our best friend. Our best friend has blessed us. And so we're filled with new, we're filled with plenty. And we're overflowing literally with new. Well, you know what happens when you're at that state? You can now be a blessing. You can help fund the ministry of reconciliation. And this is strong stuff to say when you're a ministry that mentions to people how they can support you, like we do at the end of a lot of our resources, and just make a quick, you know, less than 60 second mention about if someone's interested. But here's the bottom line. You let your best friend show you where and show you how, like what he wants you to do. That's not for me to tell you. I'm just pointing you in the right direction as far as let's decide to show our best friend that we honor him. What do you mean honor? He's valuable. And if he's valuable, listen, you got your best friend. You know they're in the middle of building their barn because their horses have been getting affected by the elements and they got to get this barn up. So you know how you can show your best friend value. You go over to their property, and you roll up your sleeves, and you grab a hammer or grab a saw, and you help them build their barn. God is consumed with zeal to tell people in the earth that he wants to be best friends with them, that he's made a covenant for them, and there's a spot for them in it. Well, how could I be a best friend to him? Easy. You believe what he says, and you believe you're blessed. That's number one. That's between you and him. And then now you pick up your... Jesus said that where our treasure is, there our heart is. And we take the first and the best of our treasure, and we give it to our best friend to help use in the mission of what's most important to him, rescuing the other misfits who don't know how good this is. Does that mean you want us to give it to you? You can if you want, but only if he tells you. Only if he tells you. But ask him, "Sir, what would you have me to do?" And then whatever it is, wherever it is, whomever it is, you follow him, you do it. But you're showing him value and you're showing him gratitude. You get what I'm saying? In the Passion Translation, that verse 10, it says this: "Then every dimension of your life will overflow with blessings." Every dimension of your life will overflow with the effect, with the results of the unseen forces that God, your best friend, has released in your life to work for you and not against you. Let me end with this for this course right here. Let me end it all with this. In the 24th chapter of Genesis, in verse 1, it says, "And Abram was old, well stricken in age." I mean, he lived his life. And the end of that scripture says, "And the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things." God had done and just kept blessing more and more and more and more. All throughout Abram's life, in Genesis 12 and Genesis 17 and Genesis 22, the scriptures say the Lord keeps repeating, "And I'll bless you." Like, I've not gotten started yet, Abraham. That's what he's saying. There's more to do. Abraham, as rich as he was and as successful as he was, and as much as God had released unseen forces into his life for him to live on earth, like God lives in heaven, it was just a measure. But here's the big picture. He was connected to the heavenly source. Amen. Well, and lastly, this is where I wanted to get to. In the 103rd Psalm, in verse 1, it says, "Bless the Lord, our best friend and shepherd, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Benefits. I looked up that word, and it means treatment. Forget not all the ways that he treats us. Remember earlier we referenced favor. With his favor, God surrounds us as a shield. All his preferential treatment. These are the benefits of the blessed life. This is how God treats his best friends. Verse 3, it says, "Who forgives all your iniquities." Do you know what forgive all means? They're all gone. Talk about cancel culture. God has canceled your iniquities. He doesn't remember them anymore. He said, "This is the covenant I'll make with them after those days." He said, "Their sins and iniquities I will remember no more." Not only are they gone and paid for, he's forgotten them. They are erased from existence. He says, "Who heals all your diseases." Anything. If there is anything wrong in your body, in your mind, or both, inside, outside, not, doesn't matter. He heals it. That's just part of being his best friend. Like my friend with the tick bite. It just came with it. It just came with going all in all the time with God. It says he redeems your life from destruction. Or he rescues your life from destruction. Who crowns you or sets on your head his loving kindness and his affection and his tender mercy, his covenant love. He treats you as his best friend and covenant brother. Who satisfies your mouth with good. Or his generosity and wealth. Or all of his resources. And so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. And last he says, and the Lord executes righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. Hear that. He said, I know problems are going to come. And things are going to try to treat you with hostility. But he says, I'll treat you like my best friend. And I'll execute help and solutions on your behalf. This is the blessed life. This is being treated as his best friend. And this isn't something you don't have. If you've accepted God's friendship and you've accepted Jesus as your boss and best friend, and you've made an all-in, all-the-time commitment with him, you have this now. You just needed to hear about it. Hey, listen. You're blessed of your best friend. And say it with me one more time. The blessing is working. How's it going to work in my life? What's it going to look like? I don't know. Let's team up together and find out. Let's see how it looks. And when it shows up, when it shows up in your life, you better let me know. I want to hear about it. I'm going to be the biggest fan. I'm going to be your number two biggest fan. You're going to have God first and me second. Amen. Hey, listen, we went a little over time that we normally go, but I know it's good. And we had to get it all out. And I know it's going to do so much good in your life. And I'm so excited about what it's going to produce and effect. Listen, I love you and God, your best friend, loves you. And you're blessed of the Lord, your best friend. Unseen forces of good are working on your behalf right now. And you're enjoying being treated as God's best friend in the earth. And you're going to be a blessing to others around you. And tell them with a big smile on your face and a healthy body and plenty of resources, God wants to be best friends with you. Come on and get in this blood covenant of best friendship with him. Isn't that good? Hey, we love you, and we'll see you soon.